Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 83 of Art for Your Ear, the first episode of 2017. This podcast is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Visit them at saatchiart.com. Today's episode comes to you from the middle of New Zealand. I have loved this artist's delicate, precise work for years, and today I finally get to ask her all of my questions. Jane Denton is my guest today. I called her just before Christmas, snowing hard in Canada and blazing hot in New Zealand. In fact, if you listen carefully, you can actually hear birds chirping. They would be on Jane's end, not mine. Okay, so let's go and ask Jane about her beautiful, perfect, fine art embroidery work, calling New Zealand. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. A bit nervous to talk to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Are you scared of what I'm going to ask you?
No. I'm just, I don't know. Anyway. How are you? Is it snowing there?
It's snowing like crazy. Yeah, I thought you would find it quite funny. I shoveled snow for an hour and a half this morning.
Really?
Yes. We had a crazy snowstorm overnight and this morning, and it's like a winter wonderland.
Wow. Can't even imagine. It's so hot here.
I know. Oh, is it? Yeah. And so you're in Wellington, right?
Well, normally, yeah, but we're just on holiday. So we're up in we're in Taupo, which is in the center of the North Island.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
If it's in the center, do you have anywhere to cool off?
Yeah, so there's a lake. We're at Lake Taupo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I went to New Zealand when I was 16.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My parents, that was like their dream, and they'd saved for years, and then they took three teenagers to New Zealand.
Where did you go?
Oh, everywhere. My dad, we rented a car, we landed in Auckland, and then we went up to the tip of the North Island. Paia, is that a place?
Yeah.
Yep. We went there, and and then all the way back down through Whanganui.
Whanganui?
Yeah, there you go. I knew I was going to say it wrong. And then to Wellington.
Yeah.
And then we took the ferry across, and the South Island's a bit of a blur. Christchurch? That's on the South Island, right?
Yeah. That's one of the main cities down there.
And then I don't remember after that. But yeah, there was three teenagers, and we basically complained the entire time.
Aww.
Yeah, it was beautiful, but you know, we had to complain. We were teenagers.
Yeah, that would have been tricky.
Yeah. I still say to my dad, like, what were you thinking? Why would you have spent all your money to take three grouchy teenagers to the other side of the planet? They should have left us with a responsible caregiver and gone by themselves.
Yeah, they really should have. Because I can imagine, like, my kids are only 7 and 9, and they're pretty easy to please, or they're very easy to please. But I imagine in another 5 years they won't be.
Exactly. My son is 10, and right now we can go anywhere. And I always say, like, to my husband, we have to live it up, because a day is going to come when he does not want to go with us.
Yeah, definitely. And it won't be long.
No. Well, that's so nice that you're up there. So are you up there through the holidays then?
So, we're here till Christmas, and then we go back across to Hawke's Bay, which is beautiful. Like really hot, and there's wineries everywhere, and that's where my husband's from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we stay there through till New Year's and then head home.
But that's so nice. Well, I'm keeping all of that in, because who doesn't want to hear about my teenage years driving through New Zealand? Jane, we have known each other but don't know each other at all for like a long time.
I feel like I know you, because I've heard so many podcasts and followed your blog for so long.
Well, I know, and we've emailed, and we've done little projects, and but we've never, like I say this at the beginning of every podcast, but we've never talked. And so I am so happy to do this, and I love your accent. And I know every time I write about you, people go cuckoo about your work. So I am very excited to talk all about that. But if you're a listener of the podcast, you know that I always go back and ask about childhood. So, I want to know what you were like as a kid. Were you doing embroidery when you were 7?
No, I was not. I was attempting to knit, but no. No, I wasn't I wasn't an artsy kid at all, really. I couldn't draw, and I think, I don't know, I think then at school, if you couldn't draw, the art teachers and people didn't really take, you know, didn't think you were creative.
Yeah.
So, but I do remember when I was quite little, about 5 or 6, that I was watching like this preschool TV show called Play School.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to make little crafty things. And I remember, I think it was on like twice a day. I must have been home school from sick. And so in the morning I watched the show and they made, it was something like a telephone made out of paper cups and string.
Yeah.
And then so in between that show finishing and the one starting in the afternoon, I ran around, got everything ready, and then made the thing along with the presenters.
Yeah.
I remember having that feeling of, you know, that feeling of satisfaction and just excitement that I'd made something. And then I remember just feeling that was so closely followed by this feeling of, oh, this is actually shit. This is nothing. It's not a real thing, and I couldn't sell it. I couldn't put it in a shop. And so
when you were little, you thought that?
Yeah, I was so excited, and then I just thought, actually, this is not cool. It's but it was, I don't know. It was the first time I'd had that feeling of, yay, I've made something, and then thinking I can't make a business out of this.
Oh my gosh!
And oh. That sort of stuck with me. Like I was always trying to think of ways of making money. So, and there was a couple of other things through school that I loved making. But apart from that, I didn't make anything until I was in my early to mid-20s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you a graphic designer? Did you go to design school?
No.
Oh.
Through college, I didn't do art.
What'd you do?
I did terrible subjects, and it was so limited back then. So I did at the end of each year, I narrowed down my options to the things that I would, you know, rather do over things that I'd really not want to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I ended up with like this really limited range. And I left school on my last year and went to Polytech, and did an administration course because I just didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew that school didn't really suit me.
Yeah.
And then after that, I went to university and did business studies, which again was terrible.
I'm surprised. I was going to say, with your little entrepreneurial 5-year-old spirit, did you go to business school?
I did, but it was so general that it wasn't interesting to me.
Mm.
But there was one paper, an entrepreneurial paper that I loved. Out of, you know, 3 years, that was one paper that I really loved. It never occurred to me that people would enjoy learning. Someone said the other day that I just love learning, and I thought, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I was doing the wrong subjects.
And so what was the one paper that you loved? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was an entrepreneurial paper, and it was just really basic, but it was about small businesses, and I loved it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And so what made you... Okay, wait, I've got more. So I was going to say, what made you start doing embroidery? But did other stuff come before that? Like, did you start in your 20s? Did you start making other things, or did it just start with your embroidery?
So then at the end of university, I started to become unwell, and I had chronic fatigue really badly. And so I left university. I hadn't finished and started working because I thought I'd start to feel better. But I didn't. I felt worse. And so I eventually had to stop working and thought I would take 3 months off to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But just continued to get worse. And but I started making beaded jewellery. And so I just had no energy, felt terrible. But I started doing this and I loved it. And started selling through shops and just around New Zealand.
Wow.
And it was sort of before you could easily make a website. So it was just through magazines and word of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And were you just sort of doing that to pass the time because you were home?
Yeah, because I couldn't work. And it was some. It was like a really good focus because I felt so awful.
Yeah.
It was a really good thing to have to do.
Wow.
And then I, at the same time, I sort of started doing like these little half-stitch embroidery things. And they were kits made by Jennifer Pudney, this New Zealand designer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really colourful and they were quite quirky and really, the drawings were really sort of, not rough, but they weren't exact and they were just, I don't know, like I remember the first ones, or actually all of them I did, they were so messy on the back. They were kind of laughable. And being embarrassed to send them in because, you know, because you'd sent them in to get them framed back to Jennifer. And yeah, and sort of being happy that I wasn't having to take them in face-to-face because they were such a mess. But
I won't show you the back of mine then. You'd be horrified.
I've improved now. But so I did those. And then I sort of got to the end of the jewellery. I couldn't really go any further without sort of doing a proper jewellery course.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to do that because it was, I don't know, it didn't really suit me. Like it was too time-consuming. Quite like doing stuff that you can kind of finish. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So then I went and did a 1 year, it's called extramural course through the Learning Connection,
mm-hmm.
which is like, it was just art and creativity. And I think it was quite different to art school because it was much more about creativity and just trying things and playing around rather than rules and yeah, so I loved that side of it. And so throughout that year, I just tried a whole lot of things and I learned to draw and paint. Well, no, I didn't learn to paint. I can't paint.
Me either.
I didn't get it. But I loved using pastels and those bright colours and, yeah.
Was the fatigue still around or were you over that?
Yep. No, it was mostly from about... it's probably like 19 through till about 26.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty horrendous.
How did you fix that?
Well, I tried just about every therapy or, because the doctors back then didn't, or some doctors believed in it, but a lot of doctors didn't believe in it, which was really frustrating. So you sort of had to go alternative. Yeah. And I eventually found this amazing naturopath who helped me. And it sort of took about 2 years from when I first started seeing her until I was actually better.
Wow. So, and so was it changing your diet and things like that? Or?
Well, earlier on I'd had to cut out heaps of things for about 5 years because I was just so sensitive to everything. So eventually she got me back onto everything.
Wow.
Because I just sort of reacted to just the tiniest amount of, anything that I should be having. So yeah. I would never stop anything again.
Yeah. When that was going on, so when you went back to do this 1 year thing, how old were you? Was the fatigue over or no, you were still in that?
I did it from home.
Oh.
So still in it and... But I was getting better. I was probably about 27, 26, 27.
Yeah.
And then my husband and I moved to Australia and we went and lived in Queensland, right on the beach.
Wow.
And I sort of recovered more and more. And then we spent a year in Melbourne as well. And by the time I came back to New Zealand, I was sorted.
Oh, that's good. That's a long haul though.
I know. It was tricky. Like, all my friends were overseas traveling and, you know, I wasn't doing what normal 20-somethings were doing.
Yeah. Well, that's... Okay, so, and then I wanted to say about the pastels being so bright and obviously your palettes now, but what you do now is time-consuming. Like, when you were saying you like to do things that you could finish and be done, because I'm like that. I like to do things quick, but your pieces cannot be quick.
No, but they... You can kind of see them... growing, so it's satisfying.
right. You have some immediate satisfaction.
Yeah, and the colours are being added and So it's more that, I think.
So your first embroidery that you consider like the beginning of the things that you do now, how old were you? And do you remember feeling like, okay, here we go?
Yep. So we came back to New Zealand and we had two little kids.
Mm-hmm.
One would have been Sophie was about 2.5 and George was about 6 months. And I don't know, it was just a really full-on time, and I remember thinking I just need something else as well as the kids.
Amen, yep.
Yeah. washing and, housework. And, yeah, I just really felt like I needed something. And so I set up a space downstairs, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but I painted my desk and I just got it all sorted. And I was originally going to sort of, because I'd taught myself how to use Illustrator, I was going to do like make prints that I could print out and frame and stuff. Because at that point when we'd just bought our new house, I couldn't find artwork that was sort of cheap and cheerful.
Yeah.
But the more time I spent doing it on the computer, I just thought it's not enough. Like I wanted to add texture.
Yeah.
So around the same time, I was driving through Wellington and there was a wire fence on one of the main streets, and someone had wound wool around, it's hard to describe, but it wound it across the squares.
Mm-hmm.
And so one was like a heart. It was just three squares.
Cool. Like a little mini knit bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were sort of scattered all over the fence, this massive fence. And we're driving through and I just got Hugh to stop. And I think I went and took a photo. And I just thought, actually, there's potential for that, like with the colours. And I haven't seen anything like that, online that's been made. And so I came home and started off with linen. But it was too tricky because it was so fine and I could only do it. And like sunlight, like daylight.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fun because it was so hard to see. And then I played around with, on a bigger scale, like this massive canvas, and was like hooking the wool like a rug.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of went back to the linen and did about three little pieces. And they're not too dissimilar to my work now. Same sort of colours, on a much smaller scale. But I don't know, I just thought that had potential, and friends and family started commenting, and
in a way you went. Yeah. They're so precise though. Like that's what boggles my mind. Like I love going in on the close-ups of them and just being like, how is that line so perfect? It's kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But it's so easy because there's a grid.
Okay, it's easy for you. So it's all by hand. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's even crazier because I'm like, oh, I know. She's using a machine of some kind.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, that's what it looks like. They're so precise. Okay, that leads to a question I have. I want to know what your studio looks like. Is it super organized and tidy and perfect, like the lines in your pieces, or is it a disaster?
Oh, I would love to say that I've got all round cards. You know how some
All color coordinated, like in a rainbow ombre type situation?
Yeah, like a little craft book.
Yeah.
No, I've tried that and there's no way. I don't have time. Like I just... When I first started, I had this basket and the wall was just like completely, in like a massive, massive like mess. And I would just like pull the wall out and, but I'm a bit more organized now.
Your entrepreneurial planning has kicked in and you're slightly more. I have to take a picture of my embroidery thread jar. I have this big jar that I bought at a thrift shop. Really cool old vintage jar, but I just jam it all in there. And so I can pull it out now and it has become one clump.
Yeah, that's what mine used to do.
Yeah.
And then I'd start another basket.
Yeah, I know. And then I just pull, and when I can't pull anymore, I just cut it off there.
Yeah.
It's really
bad. And I used to go down to the thread store, and I didn't even have the numbers of the colors I used.
Yeah.
I think the people down there thought, how is she not, like, this is even up till last year. Like, anyway, yeah.
That's so funny. Will you take a picture of your studio so that I can put it in the post?
Yeah.
Just in like one messy corner. Just one corner. You don't even need to see the whole thing.
Okay.
And I'll put a picture of my ball of thread in my jar.
Okay.
Just to put it out there.
But having said that, like, I don't like clutter. And our place is pretty tidy. Like, I can't have... Do you know what I mean? Like... My work's really, really tidy.
Yeah.
My stuff isn't that tidy, but it's always kind of vaguely organized.
Well, it would have to be at this stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just so curious because, you know, sometimes when people are really, really precise, then everything around them is chaotic, and then, or sometimes they're super, super anal and everything is just always like in order. And so I was so curious.
I wish I was like that.
I know, really. Me too.
Much easier.
I am like that in some ways. Like, people are always like marvel at my house that it's always so tidy, but
yeah,
there's certain closets though that if you open it, it's like my secret shame where like an avalanche will fall out on you.
Yeah, it's just piles of stuff.
Yeah, but I can close those doors and nobody needs to know about my secret shame inside. Anyway, yeah, my studio is a junkyard though. Okay, so let's talk about my friend Emily Henderson.
Yes.
This is so cool. So I know that Emily loves your work because she's got a few pieces, and I know Emily and I have talked about you. I don't know how that even came about, but you've just done a collaboration with her.
Yeah, it was really exciting and fun.
Yeah, so what happened?
The process. Well, she got in contact in about June or July and said that she wanted to start a makers or artist series.
Yeah.
So we designed the piece together. She sort of suggested the colour palette, and we went back and forth with design ideas, which was really fun. I loved that whole process. And then we made, well, she didn't, I made a lot of them over winter. And we joined up with Framebridge.
Oh, yes, Framebridge, yeah.
Yep. And so they're on her website now selling.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. And she's been such an amazing person for me because she's got so many of my pieces and, I don't know, she uses them in her styling and her...
I know, they're always in magazines because she always styles for, you know, when she's shooting inside her home. And
yeah,
you're in the nursery, you're in the living room.
Yeah, so it's cool. And it sort of got me into the States, really.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, so most of my work goes to the States. Hardly any goes, well, no, that goes everywhere, but mostly to the States.
And where are you selling through? Are you selling through your own shop mainly and then collaborations like this? Yeah. Okay.
And I used to have them in stores around New Zealand, but it's just through my website now.
Yeah, that's kind of nice, like control wise for you.
Yeah.
And so, do you have things in inventory, or can people do like, commissions?
I don't have many that are in my studio. I just make them when people order them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really happy to do commission pieces, and actually I've done quite a few this year, which have been fun. And it's kind of fun because you end up doing stuff that you wouldn't necessarily have thought of, or
mm-hmm.
As long as I like the colours.
I was just going to say, do you get to kibosh the colours if they come back with like brown and orange or something?
Yeah. it's not me, so it needs to look like my work.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And so what do you prefer? Do you like doing the little ones or the bigger ones?
I like the bigger ones, and this coming year I would love to do some really large pieces.
Like, what does that mean? How big is that?
Like large, like part of a wall, basically.
Oh.
Yes.
That would be good.
I know.
You'll have to keep me posted on that.
Yeah.
And then I'll do a post about being posted on that. I really like the one that Emily has in the, well, last I saw it was in the nursery. That X, that sort of light pink, really light pink and cream
Yeah.
piece. It's just so soft. I loved when you came out with that. That new palette, was that, when was that, about a year or two ago?
Yeah, I think early last year.
Yeah, so pretty. And so how do you decide on palettes? Like, are you inspired by things that you see, or do you just have like a feeling and colors you want to explore? Is it from showing up at the shop without your numbers for your embroidery thread and just going with your gut?
I think all of those things.
Yeah.
Often I feel like using really bright colors in the winter months and then the opposite in the summer. So those some of those really, really pale cotton pieces I did were they last summer or the summer before? I think that was summer, 2 years ago. Yeah, it's just I guess it's just going with your gut and I think different colors pop out to you at different times. Like when I used to go to the store to get the wool, like the same colors have been there the whole time, but certain ones pop out at different times.
Yeah,
Do you know what
I totally know what you mean. Yeah. It was so funny. I was working the other day, sitting at my computer, and all of a sudden I got this like overwhelming use light pastel colors. Because I
I'm saying?
usually use like neons and stuff in my work. And so I grabbed a pen and wrote paint with pastel colors on a post-it note and stuck it on my computer. I haven't done it yet, but I think that's what I'm going to do over the holidays. But it's just so weird. I don't know why that popped into my brain.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Maybe because I knew I was going to talk to you.
I love your work. I love the
Oh.
names, the sort of descriptions.
Thank you. And you know what? You'll be very proud of me. You know what I did yesterday?
Yes,
I built a site for myself.
yay.
Now I just have to get my husband to build it and I'm all good to go. But yeah, instead of just hashtagging things on Instagram, I'm actually making a website. Dun
Oh,
dun dun.
wow.
Yeah. I'm not selling them. I'm still too scared to sell them, but I am going to show them all in one spot.
Oh, so you're not going to sell them?
No, I'm not ready. I gotta take your entrepreneurial course or read your paper on small entrepreneurs. One day I'll be ready. Okay, so that's a good segue. Let's talk about that. So, how did you go from making them? Because I have to say you are very good at promoting yourself, and perhaps it is that 5-year-old in you who's like, let's sell these babies. How did you like? Do you ever have nervousness like me about selling, or are you like, no, let's get them out there?
No, I was very like, let's get them out there. But I guess a lot of the motivation came from that this is what I want to do, and I don't want to ever have to go back to an office job because it's
Yeah.
so nice. So it's that. It's like, this has to work. So, and no one's going to do it for me. So I have to. And it's also online, it's so easy. Like, it's not like, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years ago, where you'd have to go into stores, which I had done a couple of times, but you don't have to sell your art to the person. You just send off an email, and the worst thing that can happen is that they won't reply. So it's just kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of shy and introverted, and so for me, it's kind of ideal.
Yeah, that is the thing. Like, you and I are probably pretty close to the same age because that was when I graduated from art school. The thing was, you had to go around to galleries or shops in person with hauling your stuff with you or your slides or whatever in order to get in anywhere. And that was mortifying to me.
Yeah.
I was just like, no. So people always say, oh, you're so good at social media. And it's like, yeah, because I get to be home in my pajamas, and still do all this stuff. And it's fantastic for people that are, that the thought of walking into places isn't exactly thrilling. But here's my big problem. And like, how do you know how to price things?
It's always been tricky, actually, particularly early on, because I'm in New Zealand.
Yeah, like how to price in the States, I guess, would be tricky.
Well, so now my work's priced in US dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think at the beginning, I didn't want to come off as crafty.
Right.
But people would say to me, why don't you go to the markets and sell? And I thought, it's not the look. I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some people would probably look at my work and think, well, I can do that. And they probably could, but I don't know. It's a tricky one. I can't really explain it.
That's okay. That's I think, what's holding me up is all of that is just the pricing it and not being ready to sell it, and then not wanting to sell it for $50.
Yeah, because I think my work looks deceptively simple, whereas there's so many hours that go into the colors, the color combinations, the scale of the piece, you know, all that.
Well, and your precision, like, they are not, like, that's why I was like, let's just clear the air, everybody. This is by hand. Like, it's not, you know, machine. They are so detailed. I don't think they're simple at all. The compositions are, you know, lovely and clean and simple in that way. But my gosh, the skill that it takes to make what you make just blows my mind. No, and I really want people to know that, because, you know, I it drives me crazy when people are like, oh, I could do that. Or if I post work on my site, sometimes the comments will on Facebook will be like, hey, you know, so-and-so, let's make this on the weekend. And it's just like, no, this isn't a DIY. Like, yeah. Drives me nuts.
And it's annoying because they could make it, but they would be surprised at how long it would take to get all the details right.
Yeah.
Or all the look.
Yeah.
To look good.
Well, and you've taken years of working on this, and I mean, your color combinations are stunning. And so, yeah, they are totally, they should be valued. And that's, you know, why I guess why I'm asking you all this stuff is because I think you've priced them really well. I think you've never given me the impression, like, through the collaborations that you do and the way that you talk about work, that you do feel impostery. Like, I'm always like, oh, just, you can have it. Like, if somebody likes one of them, it's just like, oh, here you go. You know, and oh my God, it's so not a business, you know, brain. And I need help. That's why I'm calling you, Jane. Help me.
Oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And I think last year I was a bit like that too. And this year I've been a bit better at that side of things. It's a funny balance, isn't it?
It is, especially for artists. You know, like, that's, a lot of artists, I mean, oh God, I'm talking about myself this entire time, but one of the things what's going on with me with this art is that I've been doing this series for exactly a year. It'll be a year tomorrow that I started working on this series, and it's the first time, I'm 43 now, it's the first time in decades that I've actually been happy, that I've actually enjoyed my time in the studio, that I actually have fun when I make, and I think I'm nervous that if I put commerce on that, I'm going to taint it.
Yeah.
Now, that could also be my inner critic, like, you know, trying to shut me down before I even get started. But, you know, that's sort of where my worry is that, you know, that imposter thing or whatever. And I quite admire that you don't appear to have that.
Well, I'm always, like, nervous that it's not going to keep going. Like, there's always that sort of fear. But I think for you, like, what's the worst that could happen?
I don't know. Nothing, I guess. I don't know. It's just like, I feel like they're my babies and maybe they're not old enough to go off to kindergarten yet.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that because if I was just doing single pieces, because mine are limited edition.
Right.
I would have a really hard time leaving, you know, like sending some of those pieces off because there's a few that I really love.
Yeah.
And I can make them for our home if I want to. Whereas yours are just all originals.
Yeah, once they're gone, they're gone. And I don't really want to make prints. I always remember the first painting I ever sold was at my a show when I was in third year university, and we got to do this juried show, and a couple of my pieces got picked, and it was very exciting. But I didn't think they would sell. And so we were at the opening, and we're all sitting around and, you know, none of mine had sold. We're all watching for the little red stickers. And then all of a sudden I saw one of mine come off the wall. It was quite big. It was probably 4 feet by, well, maybe 5 feet by 5 feet. And the woman that bought it was carrying it out. So all I could see was her legs because she had it in front of her.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling so, well, excited that I sold my first piece ever, but also panicked because I didn't know where it was going. Was it going to a good home? Who was this lady? I couldn't even see her. It was just her little legs poking out. And it walked right out the door. And it was the weirdest feeling. So I think I might have a little bit of that, like, don't go, mama's not ready. I don't know.
Have you photographed them all? Would that help?
Maybe. Anyway, let's stop talking about me. I just think it's just so interesting, and I admire your entrepreneurial skills. That's a big thing for an artist to have. So I just wanted to say that's very impressive.
Thanks. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just...
None of us do. Who does? Yeah. Nobody. Okay, let's talk about that, actually. So, mistakes. Is there room for error in your work? Or, like, if you, you know, misstitch, can you unstitch it? Or is, like, that one's just trash now?
It depends. If, 'cause you know how it's in a grid. If there's a line of stitching they've done the wrong place, then the grid has been stretched. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, you can't go back over that, yeah.
But if I need to cover that bit up, then that's fine because you can't see it. But and also the other thing is because the white canvas around my work is so white that it has to be, you know, perfectly clean. And so I'm always really careful cleaning, wash my hands, but if it gets the slightest mark, then I have to redo it. And that's just heartbreaking. So I thought, with some really large pieces, I'll just fill the whole canvas. And because I was at first thinking if I did big pieces, that would just be heartbreaking if I got a little mark on it.
Yeah.
But if I did the whole thing, then that would solve that and it would look cool.
Oh my gosh, I wonder how long that's going to take.
Don't know.
It's exciting. Do you think that's what 2017 is going to be?
I hope so. Yeah.
Are you picturing them being bright or pastel-y?
I had pictured bright. Huh? Bright but clean. You know, yeah. Bright but too busy.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited to see that. You must be quite quick now. Well, ish. Or no.
Yeah.
Do you have to be methodical and slow still?
Depends on the piece.
Yeah.
If it's anything to do with circles, it's really slow to get all the angles right. But some of them are much quicker now.
Wow. Oh, man, these big ones are going to be fun.
And I'd love to exhibit somewhere. I don't know. But I think because lots and lots of my work goes to New York, I'd love to exhibit.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
In New York or anywhere?
Anywhere, but I'd love to be in New York.
That's crazy. Yeah, what? You need to be in New York. You need a big exhibition everywhere. A traveling show. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
I think we're manifesting it right now.
It would be fun.
It would be. Do you know Susanna Bauer's work?
No.
She embroiders on leaves. Have you ever seen her? You would love her. You two would get along quite well, I'm sure. She's from England. Well, she lives in England. And she does, look her up. She actually had her on the podcast a long time ago. But she does really, really cool work. And she just had her first exhibition in New York.
Oh, so yeah. The concept sounds familiar. And I've listened to most of you.
Yeah, she was quite probably in the maybe 20s or 30s in the episodes. But yeah, like even a two-man show with you guys would be so cool.
Yeah.
I might have to work on that. And then I get to go to New York too, which is always a win-win. We'll all meet up in New York.
Yeah, well, actually, didn't You organised that piece to go to New York for me for the opening of Greatly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did. Oh, that was a good one. That triangle one, that pointy one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it away. That's right.
Yeah, and then we did that piece for Land of Nod.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why I say, like, I've known you for the longest time, but yeah. Not really. Yeah, now we do. Now we'll meet up in New York and do some big, awesome show. So there you go. Now we just need a gallery from New York. Hey, any gallery from New York that's listening, call us. Okay. I have speed round questions for you.
Okay.
Now, I wrote this, but then, because this is going to go up after the holidays, and you and I are actually talking right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I was going to write... My question was, what did you eat too much of during the holidays? But it hasn't really happened yet. So what do you predict you will eat too much of during the holidays? What's your go-to treat? Because it's boiling hot.
Yeah, it is, but I would still go to chocolate. Always.
Oh, that's funny. Do you guys eat chocolate at Christmas?
Yeah, well, I do.
Yeah. I was picturing like ice cream and...
Oh, right. Yeah. Something classic.
Yeah. Okay, chocolate. I'm with you on that. Okay.
Cherries are good.
What is?
Cherries.
What's that?
You know, the fruit, the berries, cherries.
Oh, cherries. I thought it was like some sort of fancy, like, cherries.
No.
I thought it was like a fancy, like, New Zealand something dipped in chocolate. Cherries, maybe, dipped in chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't one of my speed round questions, but your accent is begging me to ask this. Do you ever watch Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
What do you think of it?
It's really funny, but I didn't. I've got an American friend, and she's explained why some of the stuff's particularly funny to Americans.
Yeah.
And that puts a different spin on it.
I wondered if it was like, oh, this is way over the top, or like, what? Yeah, that's how we are. I love that show so much. I so badly want to be friends with those guys.
Yeah, no, it is very funny. And when we went to the States a few years ago, I don't know why, but yeah, people had trouble understanding me. And one taxi driver just said to, he was like, my husband had to interpret for me. Like I was talking another language.
Oh my gosh.
And I was asking him a question that was 5 words long. It was like really simple. Well, I thought it was simple. But anyway.
Where's your husband from?
New Zealand.
Oh. You just have a special flair that he couldn't piece together?
Yeah. He was just looking at me like I was, I don't know, talking another language.
Oh, that's so funny. I went traveling around Europe when I graduated from school. And I was traveling with these two guys from New Zealand. Two guys from Australia, and then me and my Canadian girlfriend. And, oh my gosh, the New Zealand, this one guy, Gavin, he was so funny. And he was trying to explain the difference in the accent between Australia and New Zealand to us. And he's like, listen, he's like, fesh, fish, fesh, fish, for fish and fish. And oh my gosh, I was dying of laughter. And he was just getting so mad at us that we kept saying that he... Oh, I can hear it now, yeah. But I think we may have hammed it up just to drive Gavin over the edge. We were successful.
Yeah.
Okay. Your favorite movie?
Oh, goodness.
Would you like to come back to that? That's a tough one, so, 'cause sometimes you don't always have that first go-to thing.
It'll be something crappy.
Oh, yeah. Mine are all crappy.
Okay, come back to that.
Okay. If you had 5 minutes for a free shopping spree in an art store, what would you grab? Because you don't really shop in art stores, do you?
No.
No. And I didn't want to say the fabric store because I already know what you're going to say.
Maybe pastels, and I like those cute little mannequins.
Those little wooden ones?
Yeah.
Who doesn't need a shelf full of those?
Jeepers. I don't know. Fancy scissors and crafty stuff, I think.
Yeah. I could be in an art store for... I would just run down every aisle and just pull it all into a bucket, I think.
Yeah. No.
Do you work on canvas still?
I stitch on the canvas, but it's an embroidery canvas rather than an artist one. Yeah.
And do you stretch it yourself onto the stretcher bars, or can you buy them done?
No. I stitch, and then I take it to my framer, who then stretches it. And I could do. I found it really tricky, and I thought, I just want to get it done right, rather than me make a mistake and then...
Yeah, you're smart. Every time I've done it on canvas, I've done it on a pre-stretched one, and then it's so tricky to get, like, past the frame in the back, you know?
I didn't know you could do that.
Well, you can. It's not very precise, so it probably wouldn't be Jane Denton worthy, but Danielle Crissa does that. I did this huge piece when Charlie was little. It was probably 5 feet by 5 feet, but it has obviously like a crossbar across the back. And I didn't do the math. And when I got to that part, I'm like, how do I get under there? So I was like jamming my little fingers underneath the bar, trying to get the needle up and through. And yeah, I've never done that since. I learned my lesson. Oh, I hear little voices.
I know. They're coming back from riding. I'll just shut the door. So did you get your canvas from the art store or from a...
Yeah, I got it from an art store. And it's just like a stretched canvas, like a painting canvas. But there's no grid, right? I was just doing, like, I was sort of free-forming it. So there's no grid or anything to follow. So, I mean, it's, like, the room for error is pretty gigantic. And yeah. I'm not very good. It was during my domestic goddess phase when my son was first born. And I was so not domestic. And so I thought, right, like, I wanted to be making art, but I was going to do everything domestic because I was trying so badly to be this mom. And I realized I didn't even know how to sew buttons on. And I was like, what kind, you know, all postpartum, what kind of mother can't sew buttons? Oh. And so I did this huge piece of a great big capital letter A for like type A, because that's so what I am, all in buttons.
Really?
Yeah, so that by the end I was actually really good at sewing on buttons. And so every time he would have a nap, I would sew like 20 buttons or as many as I could get onto this canvas. But I got to the crossbar and I was like, oh no, like I couldn't get to the cross section of the A and the top of the A because they were right in the middle.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a problem. But at least I can sew a button and I'm a good mother, so that's all good.
It's educational at the same time.
Exactly. Okay, here's a Wellington type question. Have you ever been stung by a jellyfish?
No. Why Wellington?
I don't know. Because I thought there's jellyfish there.
I don't think I've ever seen one in Wellington.
What? I Googled it. You better be careful because they're out there. And it's that kind of ignorance that's going to get you stung.
Well, Wellington's weather is not great. So, and when it is nice, everyone's talking about it. It's that infrequent. So there's not many swims at the beach.
Oh, really? It's just too chilly. And I heard it's called Windy Wellington.
Yeah, it's gale force wind sometimes.
Oh. Well,
so, yeah.
See, I Googled that too. So, well, maybe those cold gale force winds are saving you from all the jelly stings.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, we have to loop back to the final, to the favorite movie.
Well, it's embarrassing.
Just say it. And then I'll tell you mine.
Okay. Well, I have watched It's Complicated many times. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's, I can't remember. Is it Alec Baldwin?
Is it Diane Keaton?
Yes. And she's got the most amazing house and kitchen and cafe. And it's funny.
Okay, I'm on it. I'll watch it over the holidays. How many times do you think you've seen it?
No.
You can like say. Five. Oh, that's not bad.
Well, yeah.
Is that a lie? Have you really seen it like 37 times?
What's your favorite?
Dirty Dancing.
Ah, yeah. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, I would have said Dirty Dancing. Yeah.
I haven't gotten past it. That's still like when I'm sick, I watch it. When I'm sad, I watch it. If I'm happy, I watch it. It's my sister and I, every Christmas, although we haven't been together for the last few Christmases, we would always get chips and dip and watch Dirty Dancing. So I just do that without her. I'm assuming she's probably in her house doing it too. Nobody puts baby in a corner. You have to watch that.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
I did love it.
Yeah.
I did watch many, many times as a teenager.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
And Jane, that's it.
Cool.
Wasn't that easy?
It was easy. Thank you.
I'm so excited. This is such a good reason to do yet another giant post. And I'll put in the piece that you sent to New York, and I will put in the piece that you did with Emily and what we did for Nod and all that good stuff. And please keep me posted on your gigantic, bright pieces, because I cannot wait to see that.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Yay.
Thank you so much, and have so much fun over the we're supposed to pretend the holidays have already. I'm so glad you had such a great holiday with your family.
Cool. Well, you're so nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, and eat lots of chocolate, and I will talk to you soon.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks, Jane. Bye. Oh, so good. Okay, so now all I have to do is line up a New York show for her, and we'll be all set. Any takers? Call me. Okay, thank you so much to Jane for taking time out of her family holiday to talk with us. Thanks to Saatchi Art for supporting this episode, and of course, thank you for listening. Oh, and if you haven't downloaded the audio version of my new book and you'd like to, you can get it for free through my link, audibletrial.com/jealouscurator. You'll get a 30-day free trial of audible.com as well that you can cancel at any time. Okay, so that's it for today. There will be more art for your ear next weekend. See you then.